Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. Okay, so other than my husband, Jake, we have our very first male guest on today. And I am so glad that I said yes to this interview. So I got to interview Justin Kendrick, who is the lead pastor of Vox Church. And we talk about his new book that is coming out called Bury Your Ordinary. And y'all, this conversation was mind-blowing. I started asking him questions that were like not even on topic because the wisdom pouring out of him was so good. I was like, you just got to keep going. Like, I'm going to need you to talk some more. So if you've ever struggled with like discipleship or like how to actually grow in spiritual like maturity and strength or how to start a conversation with someone about Jesus because it just feels awkward and weird, then this is the conversation for you. And I cannot wait for you guys to hear this conversation with Justin. I hope that you love it. Justin, welcome to the podcast. So other than my husband, you are the first male that we are having on. So welcome to you.
I am honored. Thank you.
Yes. So for those that don't know you yet, would you just kind of introduce yourself for us?
Sure. Yeah. My name's Justin Kendrick. I'm married to my amazing wife, Chrissy. We've been married 17 years. We have four kids and a dog. We pastor a church up in the Northeast called Vox Church. We have eight different locations across Connecticut, Massachusetts, and we're living the dream. So that's just a little bit about us.
That is awesome. Okay. Yeah. So I was reading about you. You started a small group on the doorstep by Yale University. Is that right?
We did. Yeah. So Yale is really kind of the center of the city of New Haven. If you go to New Haven, you're going to kind of go to Yale. And so, yeah, starting the church downtown New Haven, about a block from Yale University, kind of right away became a destination for college students from the school. And then things started to expand from there, but we're still pretty connected to the campus.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay. So you have a book coming out, Bury Your Ordinary.
I do.
Tell me why this book? Why now?
Yeah, for sure. I think spiritual growth is a pretty ambiguous and mystical idea for a lot of Christians. I think that everybody knows that we're supposed to be growing spiritually, but I think a lot of people don't actually have a plan for spiritual growth. I think if you press most Christians and say, hey, you know, what's your plan for spiritual growth? We'll talk about reading the Bible. We'll talk about going to church. But after that, things get a little squishy. And so just over 20 years of personally growing in my walk with God and then walking with first my family and then a small group and then our church, we've developed over these years a process of intentional spiritual growth based around habits. And that's really what this book is. It's just the outworking of what we found to be incredibly fruitful when it comes to spiritual growth and intentionally planning to grow spiritually.
Okay. So what does it mean to bury our ordinary?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, when I was thinking about a title for this book and how I wanted to present it to people, I think that a lot of followers of Jesus have an ordinary routine. But if we're honest, that ordinary routine doesn't look a whole lot like a life that Jesus promised, right? And so, mm-hmm. You know, the Bible talks about like peace that surpasses all understanding. It talks about joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I think when you talk to a lot of Christians, they believe in those things, but we're just not really living those things, you know? And so it's like, boy, I wish I had peace like that. I wish I had joy like that. But there seems to be a gap between like the life Jesus promised and the life that we're living. And so this book just explores, okay, if that's true, then how do we grow spiritually? What does it mean to grow spiritually? And so we start with this idea that spiritual growth is really about growing in love, that spiritual growth isn't so much about like learning Bible verses or giving a bunch of money or attending church. Those things are wonderful, but spiritual growth is really about how do I love God more and how do I love others like God intends for me to love them? And so growing in love, again, feels a little slippery. How do I grow my love? Well, there are habits that can stretch your heart to grow in love. And that's kind of the premise of the whole book.
Okay. So I always like to interview pastors who have books coming out because I feel like the books that you write, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like when pastors write a book, it's because they've seen a need maybe within their own church or you have a different perspective when you're a pastor. So is that true for your book?
Oh man, I think that there's philosophers and practitioners, right? And for a long time, I would partner with churches, which was awesome before we started our church 10 years ago. And I had all these ideas, you know, and they're great, but I'm really glad I didn't write this book then. Because mm-hmm. I had all these ideas that flushed out in the sweat and blood of real life don't really work, you know? And so, I think that for me, after I sat down with like the 500th guy that was like, man, I just want to grow, but I'm not sure what to do. I realized like, this is a serious issue in the church that we all know that Jesus said, go and make disciples. And most Christians think they're disciples of Jesus and want to be disciples of Jesus. We just have no plan for disciple, like no real intentional plan. It's like, imagine if you're trying to improve your diet, you say, well, eat healthy and exercise. It's like, okay, that's great advice, but eat what? And then mm-hmm. do what with exercise, you know? And if we just say eat healthy and exercise, but we never learn anymore, well, then I don't know, maybe Twinkies are healthy. Like what's healthy, you know? And so this book kind of says, I think most Christians would say, well, follow Jesus and read the Bible, and then that's kind of where we leave it. And that's about as far as the plan has gone. So this book says, well, actually, let's make a real plan. And the cool thing about it for me is that I wrote this book because it works. It's not the only plan, or it's not like God's one and only way of growing spiritually. I don't think of it like that at all. I think of it like, hey, this is a tested and proven intentional growth process that really just helps. And so I've seen it really help me. And then the people closest to me, and then hundreds of people beyond me. And so, yeah, it's really exciting to just be able to share it. And hopefully it's a blessing to other people too.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you would agree with this or not. I feel like over the last several years, discipleship and, you know, talking about discipleship, making it a priority, really kind of got pushed to the back burner for a lot of Christians. I didn't feel like it was, I mean, you just didn't really hear that much about it. And I feel like, oh, over the last, I don't know, year or so, people are talking about it again. I mean, did you notice the same thing?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's good. In the conversations that I've been in with a lot of church leaders, discipleship always seems to boil down to programs. So like, hey, what class do you offer? What pipeline do you push people through? And again, that's good, but that feels very like American, you know, mm-hmm. like let's McDonald's it, you know, how many pickles are supposed to be on the burger and just kind of crank it out. And that's not all bad. I'm not against pipelines. I mean, our church has that stuff, but in Barrier Ordinary, what we do is it's really about like a personal plan to grow in love for God based around something very tangible. Because as soon as you say like, hey, Caitlin, you should really grow in love. It's like, okay, I'll do that. You know, like, well, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, these seven habits, what I found is when you're intentional and you actually focus on habit one first, and then you start to experiment more with habit two, and then you kind of go to habit three, when it's this intentional process of developing new habits, the result is a growth in love. You know, like it happens because you're creating a container for your love for God to expand. And so it's a little bit more nitty gritty, a little bit more in the dirt. Like when I lead a guy to Jesus, I literally sit down over coffee and we start with habit one. And then after a week or a month or 2 months, when he really has traction, we go to habit two. I mean, it's literally that simple. And before you know it, by the time we get to habit six, like his life is different. You know, he's not like perfectly executing. That's not what this is about. It's about progress, taking steps.
Okay. This is incredible, honestly, because I will be fully transparent here that, I mean, I've got a pretty large social media following, and it's so easy for me to get on there and tell people about Jesus on there.
Sure.
But I have always struggled with, you put someone face to face in front of me and it's like, I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
And discipleship in person has seemed like just the scariest, most, you know, it's like, I am so ill-equipped for this. So this is
totally.
I mean, you're like blowing my mind right now. So I don't want you to like give away your entire book for free, but would you walk through like the habits of, you know, just give us like a quick overview?
Totally, for sure. So the disclaimer is that like, again, this isn't theory, right? So when I was 20 years old and a senior in college, I was living with 9 guys in a 2-bedroom apartment. And I was literally like tinkering with this then. That was 20 years ago. Now I'm 38, but kind of like figuring out, okay, what do I ask them to do first? What do I do first? Then what do we do second? You know? And then from there, my wife and I bought a multifamily house. We lived with 10 people in that multifamily house for years. Eventually, we had 12 houses in a 4-block radius in the city where we had all these people, probably a couple hundred at that point, all in this growth process, this discipleship process. So again, none of this is like theory. Now we do it with hundreds of people at our church. And so really simple. I mean, again, every one of these habits can be blown past, especially if you grew up in Christian circles and you kind of missed the magic of it. But the first habit, super simple, is I call it the habit of relationship. And it's the challenge of dedicating the first hour of your morning to seeking God, alone with God, not driving, not listening to a podcast, not changing diapers, but just seeking God. And I think most Christians are familiar with this idea of quiet time. You know, that's kind of something that a lot of Christians have heard of. But when you dig underneath the surface, usually devotions for a follower of Jesus is 15 minutes while I'm slamming an egg and cheese sandwich in the car. You know, like it's not something that's intentional and specific. And one of the shifts that I try to make in this book is that having time alone with God is not about earning points with God. It's not about making him love you more. You need that time to convince your heart that he loves you. So this time is about rewiring your own heart to rest and trust in the things that God's promised and said. And so I can't do that in 15 minutes. He loves me whether I spend an hour or not. He already loves me. He's already proven that on the cross. But this time is about my heart internalizing that and then living from the place of acceptance rather than from the place of always trying to get acceptance.
Oh, that's good.
And so I really challenge people. And again, if it's a brand new idea, I know in our ADHD world, and I don't say that lightly because that's my experience too. Like 60 minutes of silence in the morning sounds like a cruel and unusual punishment, you know? And so like, yeah, start with 15, then go to 30, 45, build yourself up to 60 minutes. But in the book, I really unpack like, hey, what in the world should I do during those 60 minutes? And how do I prioritize that over going to the gym and before my kids are waking up and screaming and before I'm taking the dog for a walk? And what you'll find is that 60 minutes will completely disrupt your entire life. It'll mean you have to go to bed earlier. It will mean, you know, you're not watching TV late at night. It will mean you're maybe not going to the gym at 5:30 in the morning, if you were. Like, it will mess with your world. And so I always challenge people, just try this for 30 days. For 30 days, do 60 minutes every morning, and it will torture you and annoy you and frustrate you. And at the end of it, you'll be more convinced that God loves you, more aware of his voice, and more full of his joy than ever before. So that's habit one. And so we just start with that super simple, direct habit, and everybody's life is totally messed up by the time we get to habit two, which is great because that's kind of the whole idea. So I don't know how many of these you want me to do, but that is habit one.
That's awesome. Okay. First of all, thank you for being honest that it's going to feel like torture. I hear totally. So many times they're like, well, from the first day, you're just going to be so overwhelmed. You're going to love it and you're going to stick with
no,
habit. And
not.
I'm like,
you're
no. I'm like, no, stop lying to us. You're making us, that's not how it works.
Brutal. I mean, like, I know for me, it took me probably a year of trying to develop this habit in my life before I actually started to enjoy it. And that's kind of true for any worthwhile habit in life. You know, like nobody's like, oh, I just love exercising. It's like, well, not usually. Usually it's like, I hate this. I hate this. And then a year in, you're like, I love this. I have more energy. I feel better. You know, like, and so every habit, and the scripture tells us this, discipline in the beginning is painful. But then as our hearts are trained, it yields this peaceful fruit in our life. And so all of these, and that's why I always throughout the book, I encourage people to do this with a group. Because then when you flop and fail and mess up, it's okay. Like you just get up, you know, there's no condemnation. This isn't about making God like you. You know, this is about growing in love. And so, you know, when you do it with other people, it gets fun and you kind of push each other.
Yeah. So, okay. Tell me, I think as Christians, we want to live as disciples of Christ. Like that's what we want.
Right.
But what does that look like more on like a practical day in, day out level?
Totally. Yeah. So, you know, habit one will challenge you to begin spending time with God. And then habit two will challenge you to talk about Jesus with somebody who's far from God every week. Habit three is all about following the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So I call those three habits centering habits. So on a day-to-day basis, if I just kind of begin with those three centering habits, it is going to inject spiritual growth into my routines in a way that really disrupts everything. You know, like now I'm sensing the Holy Spirit's like leading me to do this, and I'm stepping out and I'm talking to this guy I don't even know about Jesus, and it's weird. And I feel like I'm saying something stupid. And I kind of give a bunch of different thoughts about that because we have a whole generation that was trained in like this salesman pitch, and that just does not work in our culture. And so we got to get away from like the, I'm selling you Amway or a, that's like not the goal. The goal is not like, let me get you in a multi-level marketing scheme. Like we got to get away from it as Christians, you know, and just live our lives and actually be Saul and just talk about the grace of God in our lives and how attractive that is to people. But so there's a whole section on that. But I think when you talk about day-to-day discipleship, it begins with those centering habits. You know, those three habits, they get me hearing the Holy Spirit in a practical way. So my life starts looking more like the book of Acts than like, you know, the boring thing that a lot of us exist as Christians doing, you know, and then I'm spending time hearing from God, talking to God in the morning, and then I'm talking about him with other people. So those three things are the beginning. And then I call habits four and five guardrail habits. They're the habits that make my life not smash into the sidewall and fall off the tracks. And then habits six and seven are what I call long haul habits. They're the ones that really empower me to live as a disciple for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, my whole life. And so first you get centered, then you build some guardrails, then you plan for the long haul.
Okay, friends, I am sure that by now, probably most of you have heard me talk about my book, Faith, Farming, and Family, that released earlier this year with Waterbrook Publishing. And let me just tell you, releasing a book is one of the hardest yet most rewarding things I've ever done. But the best part has been hearing your stories about what the book has done for you. We have had hundreds of messages pour in saying that the book has changed your life, which, y'all, my mind is just blown at those messages, or how it's caused you to grow in your relationship with God, or changed your marriage, or your parenting, or how you look at hospitality, or so many different things. And I give all the glory to God for that. But I wanted to tell you guys that right now, Amazon has the book on a major sale, like the lowest I've ever seen it, but they are low in stock. So if you have not ordered it yet, now is a great time to do so. We've also been hearing that so many of you are going to be using the book this fall to do Bible studies or book clubs. And I want you to know I purposely wrote the book to be easy to do that. So now is a great time to get stocked up on them. And I also wanted to tell you guys, the question I get asked the most is, I'm not a farmer. Is this book for me? And let me just shout it from the mountaintops. Yes. Yes, friend, yes. I very specifically wrote this book so that if you are in the middle of New York City, you are going to walk away with just as much as if you're on a farm like me. So all the stories are from our life on the farm. And let me tell you, there are some crazy, there's hilarious stories, and there are some heart-wrenching stories in there. But at the end, it's all down to the lessons within the story, lessons that we can all relate to. So yes, you do not need to be a farmer to walk away getting so much out of this book. But I also just want to tell you guys, thank you for your messages of kindness and encouragement and for letting me know how the book has helped you. I truly appreciate every single message, comment, review, order, and share. And it just means so much to me. So you can head over to Amazon and get it on sale, or just click the link in the show notes. And now back to today's episode. Yeah. Okay. Again, I don't want you to give away the whole book here for free.
That's okay.
But I know there are so many people that are going to listen and say, I want to talk to someone about Jesus, but I have no idea what to say or where to start. And just like you said, like, I feel so stupid. I don't know what to say.
Totally.
Can you give us just like a little bit, like a glimpse of how do you even start that conversation?
Totally. So good. Yeah. So I love in the book, I talk about Paul's advice to the Colossians, where he says, walk in wisdom towards outsiders. Let your words always be seasoned with salt and full of grace, that they would give grace to those who hear it. Right. And so I think in our kind of like American salesmanship version of evangelism, and a lot of Christians are super uncomfortable with this, and they should, because it doesn't really work. You know, like, I don't know about you, but when I go into Costco and they say, hey, can I tell you about this free offer? I'm like, no. You know, like, I don't even listen to what they say. It's like, no, I don't even want to know about the free offer. Hey, I got a free vacation for you. No. You know, it's just like, we're just turned off to that. And so it begins, honestly, with prayer. Paul says, pray for me as I'm going to begin to share my faith. And so the first thing I challenge any Christian to do is just pick five people that you interact with regularly who are far from God and start praying for them every single day. And what happens there is God starts to change your heart. And what has to happen is that love for them has to begin to eclipse my own need to feel comfortable and accepted. And when that love gets bigger than my need for them to like me, now my heart starts to get ready to talk to them, right? And so just starting with prayer is the first thing. Just pray for them every day. Ask God to give you a passion to see them open their heart to Jesus. And then just begin that process of prayer. So it starts with prayer. And then it says, walk in wisdom and make sure your speech is seasoned with salt. And so what that basically means is, and then it says that you'll give grace. So I talk about this idea of like, Caitlin, you have a story of grace. God's grace broke into your life in a significant way and changed your heart. That's the gospel, that he loves me even though I don't deserve it, you know? And so just speaking from that story of grace, just your own story, it's the most powerful way to begin a conversation about Jesus. And the way I look at it is like, I just put some breadcrumbs out there and I see if a person is interested. So, you know, like there's this guy, Kevin, that I'm working out with a couple days a week now. And, you know, he doesn't know Jesus and we're just kind of getting to know each other. And he'll just say something like, man, you know, it's a tough week at work. You know, what'd you do this weekend? And I'll just say, man, I went out with my wife, 17 years married. I am more in love with her than ever, period. I don't see anything else. But what did I just do? Like, that's not normal. You don't hear too many people say 17 years married, I'm more in love with my wife than ever. That's true, but it's also a little breadcrumb. And he'll go, really? Because my wife and I are struggling, man. Why? How do you stay in love after 17 years? And again, all I'm doing is I'm just sharing my story. You know, I'm just sharing my story of grace. And before you know it, we're talking about Jesus. We're talking about the difference that's made in my life. And so I always start with something that's salty, you know, something that just is from my life. I'm not perfect. I don't pretend to be. Life's full of difficulties, challenges. But when you're just authentic and then you share about the grace of Jesus, there's an incredible attraction that the people all around the world are desperately looking for that hope. And so for me, that's where it starts.
Okay. That is so helpful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So in talking about, you know, all the different habits and spiritual growth, where does the role of burying the ordinary come in and mix in with all of this?
Totally. It's kind of like the front door to spiritual growth, because I think what I do in the beginning of the book is I ask the question, like, are you okay with your current level of spiritual maturity? Like, do you feel like you're progressing, growing, advancing? Do you feel like you're far more in love with God than you ever were in your life? Do you feel like you're on an intentional path to know him more, to love him more? And listen, if you are, praise God. But I think that a lot of followers of Jesus are like, kinda, you know, like, I don't know, I think maybe, well, my faith's kind of been shaken this last year, you know, like we don't have a great answer to that. So the first thing that we have to do is we have to say like, hey, if anything's going to change, then I have to actually be open to a new ordinary. You know, I have to be open to like creating a new ordinary. And so the whole idea of like ordinary Christianity as we know it in the West in 2021 really needs an upgrade. You know, like we should expect the promises that are in the scripture to actually be alive in our lives. And if they're not, maybe we should consider a different way of following Jesus. And that's again, what all these habits are all about. And so, you know, burying your ordinary is all about saying the ordinary Christianity that I've accepted is not producing the promises and the results that are promised. So I think I need to consider some different habits in my life.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. So you also talk about in the book that the discipleship model can only be understood in the context of agape. So dive into that and what that means for us.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think that what we have to understand about growth is that the kingdom of God, according to Jesus, is actually upside down, not right side up, right? And so our natural mind, or maybe you look at it as inside out, our natural mind says, well, if you do good things for God, then he will accept you and love you and bless you, right? And so like the natural mind, religion in general says, hey, if you obey God, you'll go to heaven. If you do good things, he'll bless you. And of course, there's a truth to that in that we reap what we sow. But the gospel is counterintuitive in that it says, No, you don't obey in order to be accepted by God. The good news is that Christ came, He was your substitute. He rose from the dead. He placed his spirit in you. He washed you of sin. So now you are accepted by God. And obedience doesn't flow out of an obligation in hopes of acceptance. Obedience flows out of a gratitude from a confidence of acceptance. And so now I'm not working for acceptance, right? I'm working from acceptance. And this is the truth of agape love, that God's love is an overflowing, never-ending, all-consuming love that sacrificially has already made you blameless in his sight. And so this is the bedrock of identity. And so now my identity doesn't flow from my performance. It doesn't flow from, you know, how much money I make or how important I am in the eyes of the world. My identity simply comes from being the beloved of God. And when this becomes real for me, now these habits shift from duty to joy. Okay. And so rather than like, well, I got to do these habits so that God loves me more. No. They'll never work that way. They'll become a slave master to our own hearts. Instead, I have to get the good news of God's grace deep inside of me. And then I want to spend more time with him. Then I want to talk about him to other people. Then I want to hear his voice, and on and on and on with each of these habits. And so agape love is where, you know, in the Bible, we see all these different words in the Greek language used for love, right? And so there's friendship love. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Four Loves, talks about the various different types of love outlined in scripture. But the agape love of God, that's the Greek word, is the love that is self-sacrificing and flows straight from the heart of heaven. It's a transcendent love, a love that's beyond human love. And when that love first is bestowed upon me, now I can begin to experience it and then express it. And that's what the world needs more than anything else on planet Earth, is we need the expression of self-sacrificing God love through our lives. And so it comes through me, but it's got to first come in me. And so, you know, the whole beginning of the book is about how do I establish the foundation of grace in my life so that from there, these habits now grow me in love rather than become obligation for my heart to fulfill.
Yeah, because I think all of us at some point have felt the obligation of, totally, I have to do this. Oh. I have to. I don't even want to, you know?
Totally. And I think it is the great misunderstanding of the Christian faith. Every man-made religion says, you know, if you obey God, he will accept you. Christianity says through Christ, you're accepted. So obey God. And so it's a totally different way of thinking about God and about a relationship with him. And it has to become the bedrock of our spiritual disciplines.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me about the assessment tool that you put in the back of the book.
Yeah. You know, I think one of the things I found in my own life, just practicing this process of discipleship that I outline in the book, is that you never fully arrive, that these seven habits are constantly evolving and progressing in our lives. And so one thing that I found really helpful for myself to do is in the back of the book, I just give questions around of the seven habits. And those questions just give you a sense as to where am I strong and where do I need to focus when it comes to growing in a particular habit. And so it takes 10 minutes just to fill out the assessment. But what I encourage guys to do, and I do this with a lot of guys at our churches, say use that assessment every month. You know, on the first of the month, take 10 minutes, do the assessment. And what you'll find is that two of the habits or three of the habits, you know, they're like on life support. Like you're just not even thinking about them. And you go, oh my goodness, you know, I haven't even thought about Sabbath and rhythm in my life. That's habit six. I've completely cut that out. I need to focus on that today. And so it'll give you kind of a central focus for your spiritual growth each month. And what you'll find is, you know, like as soon as you get habit six really healthy, oh my goodness, habit three has no attention in my life. And so you never arrive, and that's okay. You're always in process. And so the assessment tool is really all about pausing every month and saying, where do I need to focus now? And then obviously within each chapter of the book, there's some intentional tools to focus on that particular habit. And then from there, your growth just continues on and on.
Awesome. Okay, Justin, what encouragement do you have for someone listening that just feels really overwhelmed by the task of discipleship?
Yeah, totally. I would just say that I think a lot of Christians, a lot of people right now in our world just feel stuck, feel like God is far away and that, you know, that he doesn't care. You know, he doesn't care about the job that was lost, or he's not involved in the family member who got sick, et cetera, et cetera. I think that there is a big, like, where is God now question that is looming over the lives of a lot of people. And I think Jeremiah 29:13 gives us just an incredible promise where the scripture says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. And so I would just encourage followers of Jesus, as you grab this book and you dive in, begin seeking God with all your heart. And what you'll discover is that he is not far, that God is in fact very involved, very near. He said, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Not one of them falls to the ground apart from your father. You're of more value than many sparrows. In other words, God is counting the birds. He knows every detail of your life and he longs to be intimately involved, but you have to seek him. And when you seek him with your whole heart, he makes himself known. So now is not the time to wander from seeking God. Now's the time to lean in and make him your first resource, and he'll make himself known.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, lastly, Justin, where can we find you on social media? Where can we go pick up a copy of Bury Your Ordinary?
Yeah, totally. It's available anywhere books are sold, right? So Amazon or wherever you like to buy books, you can grab a copy. And then, buryyourordinary.com. There is a small group resource that's available for free on that website, which I'm actually really excited about. Our church is going through that. And it's just kind of a small group curriculum for 8 weeks of just going deep in these habits together. Super helpful to do this with others. So buryyourordinary.com. Our church is voxchurch.org. We got a bunch of resources there as well. So those are some of the places, but you know, just Google me and I'm pretty easy to find.
All right. Well, Justin, thank you so much for coming on, being our first official male guest.
You know, and that is a tremendous honor. Thank you.
Yeah, this was such a good conversation. Thank you for sharing just so much of your wisdom. And I hope so many people will go and pick up a copy of your book.
Thanks, Caitlin.